Good morning, everyone. I'll make one thing perfectly clear. It is Boy Scout Sunday and Super Bowl Sunday, but we're here to celebrate Boy Scout Sunday. You can do Super Bowl later. Our announcements today. First, we want to be sure and welcome all of our visitors and let you know how much we appreciate you being here and hope that you return. Remember to register your attendance, and you'll see the little red folders at the end of each pew. If you would fill that out, pass it down the pew so everybody can register their attendance. And as I said, today is Boy Scout Sunday, and after our greeting time, we will have the posting of the colors. Today also is Calhoun Creek service at 2 o'clock. So if you want to get two services in before the Super Bowl, come on over to Calhoun Creek. Our reenactment group will meet at 5. Yes, you will be away from here in time for the Super Bowl, I promise. It's a very brief meeting, basically just to make sure everybody has a copy of the script and knows exactly what they're going to be doing when we do have the reenactments. The deacons will meet Tuesday, February 5th at 6 p.m. in the community room. Choir and youth meet Wednesday at 5:30. Our CWF night group will meet Thursday, February 7th at 7 p.m. in the community room. And our soup and scripture returns on Sunday, February 10th at 6 p.m. And our focus will be on the letter to the Hebrews. I think it'll prove interesting for many people that may not have taken the time to read Hebrews. It's a very beautifully written letter. Also, want to point out our beautiful flowers. Our sanctuary flowers are given in loving memory of W.H. Monroe by Elizabeth Cooney. And those are very pretty to grace and adorn our sanctuary. Are there other announcements? Things I did not mention? Anything I should mention? Please stand and greet one another in Christ's name.
If you would all please stand for the presentation of the colors. Color guard, attention. Color guard, advance. Audience, please place your right hand over your heart. Color guard, halt. Cross the colors. Will the audience please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Color guard, post the colors. Color guard, reform. About face. Forward. Color guard, halt. Color guard at ease, and congregation at ease.
Sorry for the confusion. Good morning. Let us be in the spirit of worship. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Please stand and join together in singing our song of praise, God Bless America. Pray with me. Loving God, open our eyes to see what is beautiful, our minds to know what is true, and our hearts to love what is good, for Jesus' sake. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Seated, please. Let the children come forward for the children's moment. Hi, kids. I might start requiring the choir to come down here, you know, when there's no children. What do you think? My invisible friend. Not really sure who that is, but whatever. Okay. Have any of you ever heard of Dale Innes? You heard of Dale Innes? Anybody? Oh, yeah, there's somebody back there. All right, I'm going to tell you a little story about Dale. He was a professional baseball player and a very good one, too. He played in the major leagues, and during his 14-year career, he hit 288 home runs. Seven times during his career, he hit 25 or more home runs in a season. Dale Innes played for his hometown, Philadelphia Phillies. You would think that being such a good player and being a hometown boy would make Dale very popular with the Philadelphia fans, but for some reason, it didn't. During the 11 years that he played for the Phillies, the fans booed him every time he came up to bat. No matter what he did, it never seemed to be good enough. He never understood it. It didn't make sense. Later in his career, Dell Ennis moved to the St. Louis Cardinals. Although he still loved his hometown team, he was treated much better by the fans in St. Louis. Sometimes it seems that even when a hometown boy makes good, he just can't please the hometown crowd. The hometown of Jesus was Nazareth. It might surprise you to know that Jesus wasn't treated very well in his hometown either. One day, Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth. After reading from the prophet Isaiah, he told the people in the synagogue that he was the one Isaiah had written about. He was the one sent from God to preach the good news to the poor and heal the sick and give sight to the blind. Everyone was quite impressed with the words of Jesus until some of them recognized that he was a hometown boy. Isn't this Joseph's son? They demanded that Jesus perform some miracles, such as the ones they had heard about that he had performed in other places. When Jesus refused to put on a show for the people, the crowd began to turn against him. They mobbed him and took him out to the edge of a hill on which the city was built. They planned to throw him off the edge, but Jesus slipped away. That isn't very good treatment for a hometown boy, is it? It seems no matter what Jesus did, he just couldn't seem to please the hometown crowd. I wonder if you and I had lived in Nazareth during Jesus' day, would we have treated him any better? Or would we have gone along with the crowd and said, he's one of us. How can he be anything more? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, help us to be loyal and true, even when the crowd has turned against you, when the crowd has turned against us. May we always be your faithful followers. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, again we come to you today in the name of your Son. We're so thankful for this privilege of meeting together as your people to worship and honor you. We're encouraged and strengthened as we sing and pray together and as we hear the message from your word. We're challenged in our walk with you. We wish to hear from you today, and we want to be drawn closer to you. We earnestly seek your will and your way. We want to live lives of holiness and purity, and that's why we're here. We need you, Lord, and we must feel your presence near us, not only here in church on Sunday, but out there in our everyday lives, because we're the church every day. We want to portray the Spirit of Christ every day. Meeting together here every week helps to make it through the days ahead. And now, Lord, as you look down inside each of us today, we know you see all things that are there that no one else can see. And as we reach out to you, we know you're already reaching out to us. We pray for forgiveness for our shortcomings. We pray for encouragement and uplift for those that are discouraged. We pray for comfort for those that are sorrowing and sad. We pray for physical healing and restoration for those with sickness and problems. Lord, we're all different, but we all need the assurance of your loving presence. Thank you for always being there. We know we can depend on you. We pray again today for our country, for our president and his cabinet and advisors. Please give them wisdom and insight that can come only from you. We pray for the men and women of Congress. We pray for the courts of our land. We pray for the communities where we live and work. Help us to be the influence for holiness and for what is right that will make a difference. We pray too for our local leaders, and that they will make right decisions that will direct us in the right path. And, O Lord, we lift up and pray for Boy Scouts around the world and give you thanks for them and their dedication and loyalty to you and to their communities. We pray for our troops around the world as they continue to work for freedom and justice. We ask for continued wisdom and leading for our elders and deacons and members of the various boards and committees. We know they face important decisions that will affect the future of our church for years to come. Help each of us as we contemplate the programs and events for 2013. We know you will be with us, and we give you thanks. We pray all this with thanksgiving in the powerful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
our communion meditation. There is an old proverb that says, when there is righteousness in the heart, there is beauty of character. When there is beauty of character, there is honor in the home. When there is honor in the home, there is order in society. And when there is order in society, there is peace in the world. Today we partake of this meal with our Lord, who brought peace not only to the world but to our hearts in so many ways that it will be difficult to ever be as thankful as we need be. But as you partake of this meal, please remember that the Lord of peace walked this earth. Our elders pray.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He instituted this supper through which we may have fellowship with Thee. Cleanse our hearts and minds of all unrighteousness as we come to this table, and renew within us a right spirit that we may worthily partake of this service. We thank Thee for this loaf, which represents Jesus' broken body. As we partake of the loaf, grant that we may be fully aware of Thy great love for us expressed through the sacrifice of Thy Son, Jesus. Through our participation in this service, help us to be inspired to go forth and live more closely in accordance with Thy will in our lives.
We come to this table, O Lord, seeking Your blessing. We pray for guidance and reassurance as we prepare for a time of reflection and penance. Charge us with making and keeping resolutions that make a difference in the lives of others as well as ourselves. Fill us with Your strength to keep these commitments through each and every day. As we partake of the elements of this table, we pray that they will fill us with the spiritual nourishment we need to replenish our souls. Amen.
On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Our offertory meditation. It's like the Lutheran pastor who always started each service with, "The Lord be with you." The people would respond, "And also with you." But one Sunday, the PA system wasn't working, so the first thing he said was, "There's something wrong with this microphone." The people responded, "And also with you." Sometimes we get into habits. We just do it. We don't think. So you may hear me or one of our members talk about the need to keep funds coming in and to keep your gifts and talents rolling in that we can do programming. And it just goes right over your head because you're so used to hearing it. I pray that each Sunday when we make this call for our offering, that you really hear the need to keep the ministry of this church going. We do so much that helps our community and helps others. Let us have the giving and receiving of our offering. Gracious God, we pray that we never fail to hear your call to do ministry. May we use these gifts in such a way that you will be proud and know that your ministry continues on this earth. Amen.
Feel your power.
The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 4, 21 through 30. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all of the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him over the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Betsy. Appreciate that reading. When you read your Bible, do you ever feel you just read something meant just for you? You know, something like, "Go into all the nations preaching the gospel." And you say, "That's it. That's what I need to do." You ever done that? Or do you read parts where you think to yourself, "That seems magical. How did Jesus pass through the midst of them without them seeing or grabbing him?" Some folks will read the same scripture over and over, and rather than read diverse scripture, I hear them say, "I've read it over and over, and I still don't understand what I'm to do." And I wonder if they ever stop to think there is scripture meant for them, the message they need to hear right now, but they keep reading the one scripture that is not for them for that moment. The Bible is a big book, as we all know, and there is much to be gleaned from it if we take the time to read the book. Jesus was one who read Scripture, all of it. He was well-versed in its nuances and understood its messages. So here's Jesus reading Scripture, sitting down and saying, "Today this Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Perhaps another way of putting it is this: "Today I have read the scripture you need to hear." Since being baptized, how much of the Bible have you read? How often have you picked this book up? I mean, this is good-sized book. Would you consider yourself a dead saint or a dry saint? It makes a difference. Think about it. Do you know what the difference is? A dead saint is like a statue that never moves, and eventually the pigeons will land on it and build their nest and you know what else. But a dry saint is like wood, easily kindled. Dry wood just seems to catch on fire faster. Even though they have dry prayers and dry worship, all it takes is for someone to strike the match of motivation and watch them kindle fast. We all go through dry periods in our spiritual lives, but some of us just die to our faith. What makes the difference for you? The story is told of a Sunday school class that had been asked the question, "In your time of discouragement, what is your favorite scripture?" A young man said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23:1. A middle-aged woman said, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 46:1. Another woman said, "In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world." John 16:33-35. Then old Mr. John, who was over 80 years old with a head of white hair, stood up and said with as much strength as he could muster, "And it came to pass 85 times. The class started to laugh a little, thinking that old Mr. John's lack of memory was getting the best of him. When the snickering stopped, he said, "At 30, I lost my job with 600 hungry mouths to feed and a wife. I didn't know how I would make it. At 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer. It slowly ate away at her. We cried together many a night at our kitchen table. When she died, I took my Bible and read, and it came to pass. Yes, sir, it gave me strength to carry on." Old Mr. John had learned a valuable lesson on his faith journey. In addition to reading, "And it came to pass," I believe he must have read the following from Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. See if you remember this one. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil?" Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? "And it came to pass." Have you read the scripture or just heard it read? How well do you know your scripture? Scripture is quite amazing. It may lead us to do something for a family member or a friend or a neighbor. It may even prompt us to join the Boy Scouts or be a part of a scout troop and help out. And it may help us to understand how we can pass in the midst of a crowd undetected. In other words, it may help us find answers to burning questions. It may lead us to a realization about ourselves or others. For example, Miss Thompson taught Teddy Stallard in the 4th grade. He was a slow, unkempt student, a loner, shunned by his classmates. The previous year, his mother died, and what little motivation for school he may have once had was now gone. Miss Thompson didn't particularly care for Teddy either, but at Christmas time he brought her a small present. Her desk was covered with well-wrapped presents from the other children, but Teddy's came in a brown sack. When she opened it, there was a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker, but Miss Thompson saw the importance of the moment. She quickly splashed on some perfume and put on the bracelet, pretending Teddy had given her something special. At the end of the day, Teddy worked up enough courage to softly say, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother, and her bracelet looks really pretty on you, too. I'm glad you like my presents." After Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees and prayed for God's forgiveness. She prayed for God to use her as she sought to not only teach these children, but to love them as well. She became a new teacher. She lovingly helped students like Teddy, and by the end of the year, he had caught up with most of the students. Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. Then she received this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, she got another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stallard." Every day we touch lives. Sometimes we have no idea that we have. Sometimes we may not know how profoundly we have touched a life until years later, but we have touched lives. And as we read Scripture, we read about people who have touched lives, and we become inspired to touch lives. I believe these are moments when we unknowingly open ourselves to the Holy Spirit being active in our lives. When we read Scripture, we find new ways for the Spirit of God to use us. When a friend says, "Remember when I was overcome by the events in my life and you called to check on me? That really turned my life around." Or when a childhood friend says, "I've never forgotten how you stood up for me when the class bully was picking on me." And you respond, "I'd forgotten all about it." But your friend didn't. God's Word. What an amazing part of God that does so much in our lives. If we are dry saints, the Scripture can ignite us. Once we are ignited, we can be led by the Spirit. And as Sue Briley pointed out last Sunday, the Holy Spirit can lead us to touch lives and to do great things. And ultimately, by reading Scripture, we may find ways to be thankful. Read the Beatitudes, or the Psalms, or the letters of Paul. Being thankful is central to our faith. Turn it to the positive. Think of it this way. I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I am out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I am capable of walking. My huge heating bill because it means I am warm. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. The piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means that I'm alive. Weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. When we read our Bibles, we read a long history of thankfulness. Warning, this is not a test. The questions are rhetorical. Did Adam and Eve die? No. In spite of being told they would, they didn't. Did Cain die after killing Abel? No. How about Moses? Did the mighty Egyptians kill him? Didn't David, the shepherd boy, become a king? Wasn't Zacchaeus invited to eat with Jesus? And didn't Saul, the persecutor of Christians, become Paul, the builder of churches? And our Lord, remember these words that Betsy read? And they rose up and put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, he went away in the blink of an eye. Through reading Scripture and allowing ourselves to be filled with God's Spirit, we can change in the blink of an eye. Think about it. In your faith journey, how many times has something happened in your life and happened so quickly that you have trouble recalling how it happened? That's how God works in our lives. We may not always be able to recall just exactly what it was, but if we're attentive to the Word of God, it can happen in the blink of an eye. So as we go forth from this place today, may we go forth knowing that God is working in our lives, that there are Teddy Stallards in the world, and that we might be the one to reach out to that soul, that there are things to be thankful for. We can look at the bad. But what if we weren't around to look at the bad? There's a blessing. On every side of a problem, there's a blessing. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today praising you and giving you the glory for all that you have done for us. We have this wonderful church. We have wonderful ministries. We have people dedicated to ministry. We have our Boy Scouts who blessed us today by coming in and posting colors. And we raised our voices for a country that has been good to us. May we never forget all the blessings you have put in our life, and may we always be thankful. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.